Good Chodesh. Okay, so Or La Aleph Iyar, ladies, Chodesh Halvavos Shir, and Shar HaBechina. So first an advertisement. I want to tell you something very... So there's a... ever since the Jewish Observer closed down, or that's the way I see it, so there's been attempts to have a Haredi sophisticated... Not an oxymoron. A Haredi, a Haredi sophisticated magazine that would be, you know, on some sort of intellectual level. So there's two things out there. One is in print, and one's an e-magazine. I'm not sure what it's called. One's I forget what the names are, but also the e-magazine. You could subscribe to it. They're in the third issue now. It's called Klal Perspectives. And they really talk about issues facing the Jewish people. You'll see. Okay, so this is the third issue, and I subscribe to it. So people say, "This is what we want you to talk about." And they have each issue. You download it. It's 68 pages. And Moshe Weinberger, Rabbi Yaakov Glasser, Rabbi Aaron Lopiansky, Rabbi Zion Twersky, Rabbi Yitzchak Feigenbaum. Jonathan Rosenblum, Shalom Baum, Judith Kahn, psychologist, David Goldwasser, Yitzhak Adlerstein. We're familiar with these names, maybe.
Rich and famous.
Yeah. So this one is about, people raise the following issue. The American Orthodox community is experiencing a crisis of spiritual connection. In the opinion of many leaders and observers of the community, Rabbi Chaim David Zweibel, executive vice president of Agudas Yisrael, summed up the matter when he identified the single greatest challenge facing the Orthodox community as the increasing numbers from across the spectrum who feel no meaningful connection to Hashem or His Torah. Mm-hmm. They don't feel connected. Maybe they're from, but they don't feel so. And the question was this: how accurate is this perception? Can a reliable assessment be made? Are those who admit their alienation or feelings of emptiness in a basically healthy Orthodox society, or are they the tip of an iceberg of much larger group of alienated Jews who have not fully articulated their discontent or alienation? Then, next question. Those who suffer a lack of connection to Hashem and His Torah, is this disconnect primarily intellectual or emotional? Is it due to a failure to educate in basic issues of emunah and to demonstrate the depth and relevance of Torah, or does it have its source in a lack of fulfillment in life as a Torah Jew? And these are the questions. And so then this issue came out with all these people, and they really sum up in the, we're getting to a point. And they sum up, really, in two pages, they sum up what everybody says, like, this is this, Rabbi Aaron Lopiansky says this, and Gideon Rothstein says this, and Ben Zion Twersky says this, and David Goldwasser says this, and they discuss it from a million, and you end up with nothing, probably. I mean, that's the nature of... a three-page summary where they summarize what each person mahalach is. So why am I saying this? Because not one person said that was the question of the Chayvus Halvavos in his Hagdama. That the Chayvus Halvavos wrote in his Hagdama, and we learned the Hagdama, this is mamish the issue he dealt with. That what happened to the lathe? There's no connection. People are just going through the motions. They're just doing the things. And they don't, they don't feel a meaningful connection to Hashem or to His Torah. And they'll think this is a modern Shaila, and everybody's suggesting. I say, let people just learn Chayvus Halvavos.
Did Rob respond? Yes.
No, I don't know.
Why not?
I'm too much of a Baal Gaiva to just be one of 25 voices. Anyway, if you want to download it, it's called Klal Perspectives. It's not interesting. You could subscribe to it. Klal Perspectives. And this issue is all about this inyan. And all these big thinkers talk and talk and talk and talk. And I'm saying to myself, Not one person mentions the Chayus Halvavus. You know, and in Imamish, it's like bullseye. This is exactly what he writes in his Hakdama, and that's why he wrote the Sefer. And I think, why didn't even one person mention that? Now, one person said this is exactly and precisely the problem. It's 2 centuries ago. Ten centuries ago. One thousand years ago. Over 1,000 years ago. Over a millennium ago? It's called a millennium? A millennium is 1,000 years? A millennium ago, the Chayus Halvavus asked this very question. And that one person, really Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal, is the one really that did it for me, that pointed this out, and I heard him in his tapes. He sometimes gets very sharp, acerbic even, if you know, he's can be quite. And he says, you know, you could sit at home Friday night and people are talking about the parsha and singing his mirrors and this, and you don't hear one person saying the word Hashem. Like, mm-hmm. No one's talking about Hashem. And he says, this is a problem. The yeshiva bachurim and from people, and Hashem is like a foreign. So, listen, it's a good advertisement, this issue. Maybe I should write a letter to the editor. Nobody says Chayus Halvavus. It bothered me. First I said to myself, wow, Chayus Halvavus addresses this very question in his Hakdama. But then as I, you know, read through what everybody had to say in their 3-page summary of what everybody says, I said, you know, not one person. I mean, this one said, they say good things. They're very intellectual, and they say very good things. But we have the handbook here. So what's the answer? If I was writing an essay, I wouldn't just say, go learn Chayus Halvavus. The Chayus Halvavus gives us the answer. And I want to speak it out, because we're learning Shaar HaBechina now. He says, you have to develop a sense of gratitude to Hashem. That's the connection. That's really the yesod of the Sefer, that our connection to Hashem will come and be there by our just being grateful, living a life of gratitude and thanking Hashem for everything. There's so many things to thank Hashem for. Again, right away people think of what's going wrong in their lives. I'm not a mind reader, but that's what everybody's thinking about in this room, including myself. I say, how can I talk like that? I have this problem and that problem and this issue. But that's exactly the Chayus Halvavus. There's so much to thank Hashem for when we think about either how far we've come from this or just the fact that our body's working. And you know, this person that was Nifter just now, the Mashgiach of Chevron was Nifter. He had the disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, for a year and a half. He could only blink his eye. And that's how he communicated. He had this machine. This guy that wrote a book was hooked up to the machine. So he had such a machine. They bought him such a machine, and he communicated. He could only move his eye. Scary. And when my son was in Hebron, he heard him say schmoozing. He got sick. You know, it's not such a long period of time. But you know, if you ask such a person, he's grateful to be alive, and is, you know, his body is working, and it's not toxic. So I'm just making a call to home. So that, you know, that is, I'm not just saying the Chayus Halvavus talks about it. This is the Chayus Halvavus' solution, because first comes Shaar HaYichud. Okay, Shaar HaYichud you can't avoid, meaning. You have to really ask yourself if you believe in Hashem. And maybe that's what some of them talk about that. That there's really a question of emunah. But I want to remind everyone, including myself, mainly myself, that the Chayus Halvavus' Shaar HaBechina is not only, remember, this is the bridge. He says, Shaar HaYichud, he himself says, because people don't learn Shaar HaYichud, even Rabbi Avigdor Miller skips it on his tapes. And in his book on Chayus Halvavus, that they're now transcribing the tapes. He didn't write a book, but they're transcribing his tapes. They skip Shaar HaYichud, and the Lev Tov, Chayus Halvavus, skips Shaar HaYichud. And another Sefer that was just now written on Chayus Halvavus skips Shaar HaYichud. But the Chayus Halvavus himself says that Shaar HaYichud is maybe too heavy for people. So he's writing Shar HaBechina because not only to develop gratitude and to see Hashem. Because this is going to be the best proof of Hashem. If you study a leaf and you study your blood system and you study your respiratory system and you study all these things that he talked about in Perek Dalet, where he gave the seven disciplines, and at the end of Perek Dalet he had the pasuk in Mishlei, Amudeha, Chotzva Amudeha Shiva, the world has seven pillars of Chachma. And these are the, and he obviously means that the seven areas that he talked about, where you see Hashem in those seven areas. So it's really a way to develop emunah also. It really has all, and that's what he writes in the beginning of Shar HaBechina, which we're learning now. It has both milas. It reinforces or it actualizes belief in Hashem. It's like, wow, you know, he's going to describe soon. Women will appreciate this more than men. He's going to describe a fetus and how a fetus grows and how it started its inception, conception, and like a nothing. And he didn't even know what we know now. Now they have Life magazine, a picture, a child is born. I have that issue. I saved it. You know, I'm talking about Life. There used to be a magazine, Life Pictures. It was a photo journal. And they once made an issue, a child is born or something like that. And they had pictures of every, after a day, after a week, after 2 weeks. Like, it's really marvel. It's really, and that's what he wants us to do. And that's what he's going to take us through. In Parakeh, he's going to start with that. But, so it's a way to see Hashem. And it's a way to, it leads to Shar Avodas Elokim that we learned already, which is grounded in gratitude. So really, that's the connection to Hashem, is gratitude. That's the name of the game. That's what he said. That's the solution. The solution is, and it's very interesting, I think it's a very rational, intellectual mahalach. It's not, he's not saying, it's like saying, you know, if our Masorah is not enough to form, that's what I would write. Like I would, maybe I should. Our Masorah is taka not enough to form an emotional connection. You don't feel connected because maybe you believe because grandfather, you know, back to Har Sinai, and you believe it, 2 million people and all of that. But then that's not enough to really form an emotional connection where you feel connected. That's what they're talking about. They don't feel connected. And I can tell you, there's never been a stage in history where people have been so frum. It's unfortunate, there's never been a stage of history when it's been such a minuscule percentage of Klal Yisrael. How many people are frum? It's not nice to say even 10%. I don't even know if it's 10% of Jews are frum. Maybe it's 10%. Mm-hmm. What?
That sounds very generous.
It's scary, and it never was like that. I mean, the Haskalah did it. The Haskalah did it. You know, so those that view the Holocaust in a very, they're scared to say it out loud because everybody jumps on them. But those that view the Holocaust as a very as a wiping the slate clean, sort of, and starting again. I believe that. I mean, if you say it, people. Please don't jump on me. If you say it, people say, oh, who are you to say that? Look, it says in the Torah. And there was never such a mass exodus of frumkeit, of being obedient to Hashem, as was then. And, I mean, you got to connect the dots. My father-in-law, Olav HaShalom, wrote a book in English, With Fury Poured Out. So his book is a very optimistic book. The first half is showing how things were getting worse and worse and worse, not better, in Europe. It was getting worse and worse and worse, and then there was the Holocaust, and then the charts started moving up. So I think it's safe to say the charts moving up. We're having the children. There's Balei Tshuva left and right. I'm sure it's increasing every year. If it was 10% this year, it was 9% last year, and it was 8% the year before. No question, just sheer numbers. So the chart's moving up, but it was never.
Well, a lot of Jews marrying out, so now there's fewer and fewer Jews.
It's not nice to say, but I'll say it anyway. In Yeshayahu Anobi, there are psukim that says that that's what's going to happen. Again, it's not nice to say because we are sad when someone intermarries. We're not happy, to say the least. That's an understatement. But in Yeshaya, it says that that's what's going to end up happening. That people will just fall away just by because of that. So then we'll have less problems to deal with. Again, it's not. You want to fight it. You don't want it to happen. I don't know.
Don't you need a novel to be able to make such a statement?
So there was. His name was Yeshaya.
Yeah, but we're interpreting what Yeshaya meant. But to say that
he says it.
No, that
he doesn't say. He doesn't say whoopee. Let's make a party. Let's celebrate. He doesn't say to celebrate it. He says that will be. That will happen at the end of days.
She's talking about the Holocaust.
That's the Holocaust.
I don't think you have to be a novel. I think you have to look at the Torah.
Really, very powerful.
I know it's very. You're not supposed to say nowadays. Just like you're not supposed to punish your kid, or you're not supposed to be judgmental. I'm not making fun of you, Chas v'Shalom. It's obvious. The Torah says it.
But we had so many good darlin. We had so many tzaddikim who went.
The Torah, when the Torah says what it says, you see, if someone's house burns down, I would never dream. There's a big chilik between the tzibur and the yochid. If a yochid has tzaros, it would be terrible to go to him and say, you know why this happened to you? You could say maybe you should be mefashfesh b'masov, the way the Gemara says, but to say this happened because of that. But the Torah does tie in tzaro. The Torah describes the Holocaust. I mean, it does. And it says it's happening, it's going to happen because you leave Hashem. But it always talks b'loshen rabin. It talks about the klal. So I'm not talking about any individual. Sadly, a lot of gedolim passed away in the Holocaust because once the Midas HaDin is unleashed, that the Chazal say, Shuv Eino Mavchin Bein Tzadik LaRasha. But I don't think it's wrong. I mean, again, I know it's very harsh sounding and it's not politically correct, but the Torah says it. The Torah says it's going to happen. You have to be like blind to say it's not connected. There was never a mass exodus. I don't know what to call it. A mass leaving of Torah. It never happened in the history of Klal Yisrael that 80%, 90% of the people became not frum and just left Shemira's Torah mitzvahs. It never happened. So you say something like the Holocaust never happened, so connect the dots. The Torah says, and the Torah describes. The Torah describes it in Parshas Devarim, in the Kisavo, not in B'chukosai a little, and Kisavo and Itzavim, and it says. So what are you going to say? So what's the purpose of saying it? You know, some people. I would say it to a person who lost faith because of the Holocaust. They say, where was God? How can I believe? I mean, this has been said countless times. How can I believe in a God that let the Holocaust happen? So the answer is, what? Adarabba. God said it would happen. Look, here, open the Torah. God said it would happen. It should strengthen your belief in God, not weaken it. God said this is going to happen if ABC, then DEF, and certainly ABC was unprecedented. The Holocaust was unprecedented. I mean, but the going away of Torah was unprecedented. So I'm not celebrating it, Chas v'Shalom, just like I don't celebrate an intermarriage. But the reality, I don't know. I tell you what I do have trouble with, and maybe I shouldn't admit it publicly. So I shut the tape. I'm not sure the people that work so hard to prevent an intermarriage, but the people stay not from. I have a problem. I'm not sure how much value that has. Maybe they should. Maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe they shouldn't expend their kochos doing that. I don't know. So you say, well, maybe a future door will become better. Exactly. Okay, I hear. But it's not
partial.
It's not, what?
Every neshama is valuable. How can you determine who should be let go? I'm not sending anybody.
I'm not reading a shidduch between a Jew and a God. I'm not reading the shidduch. But I'm not sure how much value it has. Like, let's say, to make an organization that's to fight intermarriage only. Like, so as I just say, there's always the possibility of kiruv once they stay Jewish and once they feel Jewish. Okay, but you have to say that.
Well, they might be doing mitzvahs too, even if they're not shomer mitzvahs. I mean, they could still do.
I'm going to say something that you're not going to like now. If you do mitzvahs and you don't believe in Hashem, it has zero value. It has zero value. If you don't believe in Hashem, it has zero value. If you're not serving Hashem, it has zero value. You're a nice person, and you'll become.
But if you're not as a Jew in the community, and you're not from.
Not from doesn't mean you don't believe in Hashem. Whoa.
No,
there's tons of Sfardim who are not from, and they believe very strongly in Hashem. Mm-hmm.
But the midos of a person, let's say.
Nothing.
They behave in a very mechubadic way, and they're known as a Jew. It's Mashiach, say a goy. They're not doing it to serve Hashem because
I'm not saying it's of no value if you don't do it lishma.
You don't get any sparks.
Wait. I want to clarify. I'm not talking about if they don't fulfill Shari Yichud Hamaisa and they're not doing it lishma. I'm talking about they don't believe in Hashem. They feel they're being good people.
Right.
I'm not saying there's no value. Yeah.
So what does it mean? Kol Yehuda Mali Mitzvos Kriyma. What does it mean then?
If you believe in Hashem.
Yehudi.
If you believe in Hashem, that's the bedrock. Bedrock is you believe in Hashem. What's a Yehudi? I'm a son of Avraham Avinu. Have emuna. All I ask is emuna. Believe Hashem. Be able to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so to speak. Believe in Hashem. If you don't believe in Hashem, so no, I have to say this. It's not. If you don't believe in Hashem, that's the Aleph. That's the beginning. It's before Aleph. We believe in Hashem. If we don't believe in Hashem, it's zero value.
But there's levels of belief.
What?
There's levels of you have a fine. Whole thing, but people show up at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
So,
but do they believe in Hashem the way we do? They think it controls every little thing.
Man, believe me, I don't believe in Hashem the way I'm supposed to. No, 100% there's different levels of belief. Fine.
Let's say there's basic
emunah,
but it's a
tinoch she. But basic emunah is fine. I have no problem with the Sfaradim, for example. The taxi drivers, they believe in Hashem.
And
they
get scar for the.
Absolutely.
They're Jewish. Yeah.
They're Jewish. Even the Tanya. I learned Tanya with the Ilam. Even the Tanya who. That Lubavitch mitzvah tanks and this is all based on Tanya. The Tanya doesn't say to make mitzvah tanks, but the ideology of going over to someone and say, hey, are you Jewish? Here, put on these black boxes and take this thing and shake it. And a lot of people have tainus that it's worthless. And I know it's based on things that Tanya writes about what a Jewish soul is and this. But I also believe that it's only if they believe in Hashem. Otherwise, I can't believe in Hashem. It's like it's nothing. I'm sorry. It's nothing. Belief in Hashem is our whole. That's what it is. We're connecting to Hashem. So I'm not talking about. Of course, there's levels of belief, and I'm not saying you have to do it lishma. But you say a Jewish person, a Jew believes in Hashem. Otherwise, you've written yourself off of the Jewish people. Sorry. Now you know what I hold. Okay, getting back to the Chavis Halvavas. So I really think that's the solution. The solution is really to learn Chavis Halvavas, but the solution is to do Shar HaBechina. It's very intellectual mahalach. It's to say, do the seven things of the Chavis Halvavas. Examine biology, delve into astronomy, He doesn't talk about number six of the seven is learn Torah. Right? Because he's talking about developing a sense of the reality of Hashem. So he wants people to do it. And then they should be enveloped with a sense of gratitude. Try it. Go Google anything, your eyelashes. And this is what he's saying, and he keeps saying it, and we keep learning it. The complexity and the chachma and the chesed, and it's unbelievable. So, wow, look what Hashem did. And a person is made up of 10 billion moving parts.
Wait, I want to go back to this business of if you don't believe in Hashem, you write yourself off from the Jewish people. Because then you have a woman, she doesn't believe Hashem, she says, Dafka, I don't. Then how could her kids be Jewish? They shouldn't be Jewish anymore. There's something that's beyond the individual's power of belief that makes you a Jew. It just can't be, because why are your kids be Jewish? Your kids aren't Jewish either?
And Chas v'Shalom, I wasn't talking technically. But I wasn't talking technically.
Okay.
Being Jewish is a biological reality.
So Hashem made it that way. There must be some value in just the biology without the belief. Why would he make it that way? It's not a religion of choice, it's a religion of biology. There's something, a value in there.
The value is that you could get them, that there's something there that you could fan into a belief. Again, I would never dream or advocate Chas v'Sholem or be in favor of Chas v'Sholem reading a shidduch between a Jew that doesn't believe in Hashem and a goy. I wouldn't say, I'll go do it. What's the difference? He doesn't believe in Hashem anyway. I totally agree with what you just said. And you've answered the question, that the value of it is that there's something that could be, you could fan the spark. You could fan it. What I said was the mitzvahs that they do and the good deeds that they do are really meaningless. I sent around this article by this girl in college that decided, a Reformed Jew, that decided to be frum for a week. She called it her frum week.
Oh, yeah, right.
So it was very interesting. And she learned a lot of things. She's realized that I forgot a lot of things. She didn't like the mechitza still, but she understood, she appreciated the value of kashrus and making brachas. But so I remember when I sent it out to the olim, I said, I wrote a warning that she doesn't believe in Hashem. She says so explicitly that she's picking and choosing what to do because she wants to have a religious experience, but she doesn't believe in Hashem or Sinai. So really, everything she did here is meaningless. That's the reality. I'm not talking about someone like Dennis Prager, for example, who keeps a lot of Torah. And he's like, he doesn't, I mean, I guess technically I'd call him an apikoyrus because he doesn't believe in Har Sinai. You know, Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai. But he has a sense of Hashem very strongly. So I wouldn't say it about him that it's meaningless, even though technically he's an apikoyrus. No, he is. I mean, he's technically an apikoyrus. He doesn't believe in Torah Musinai. He doesn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, the 13 anim. I'm following the Rambam, that the 13 animamins are the bedrock theology of a Jew. And these are the things you have to believe. I don't know, but the word apikoyrus has become just a word you hurl at someone. So I don't like the word. But you're missing fundamental Jewish faith. The 13 animamins, the Rambam says, this is what we believe. This is the bedrock of our belief, the 13 animamins. So I'm saying the other way, but I wouldn't say what Dennis Prager does, it's meaningless, because he believes in Hashem. So he has a sense of serving Hashem. So it's wrong-headed, and it's a pity. It's a pity, because he's not doing it the right way, and ultimately he doesn't even realize it, that he is still deciding, because he doesn't follow Shulchan Aruch, right? He's still deciding. It has to make sense to him, b'kitzur. He won't do a chok. It has to make sense to him. So he figured out Shabbos and he figured out Kashrus and he figured out this, and he figured out that. So that's what he does. So, you know, in the words of the Chavis HaLavas, he's not serving Hashem, he's serving himself. He's serving his own seichel. He's finding fulfillment in it's like this girl that found fulfillment during that week. She was going to go now and decide if she's going to keep dressing sneostig, if she's going to keep benching, if she's going to keep... So you, but it was a very interesting article because she... It was very interesting what she connected to. You see, she all of a sudden realized that it's very good to make brachas, and it makes you think. It elevates the act of eating from a purely physical thing to now it's like, wait, am I allowed to eat this? I thank Hashem before I eat it. I thank Hashem after I eat it. Like, wow, eating now becomes a whole service of Hashem. Like, okay, somebody look her up now. She's probably doing nothing. Yeah, okay, so I said two things tonight. That okay. You should hear from Victor Miller. Somebody wrote a sefer in English, in Hebrew. May Oshon Hakivshon, and it's a collection of things he said about the Holocaust.
Right. It was really powerful.
Makes me sound like a Romper Room teacher.
I know.
Who doesn't know? Romper Room, come on. I was never on it. A kid in my class was on it. In RJJ, a kid in my class got on it. But they cut him out. I mean, he vomited. They cut him from the whole show.
I remember
a kid in my class from RJJ. We were so jealous of him. Anyway, that's the solution. You hear? But there's a whole thing here that
they are waiting for the Rav to respond. No, these 25.
There's a anonymously. They accepted that it's a problem in Klal Yisrael.
Who are these 25 people?
No, they are just here. You could subscribe to this. You could subscribe to this. This is volume 3, and each one. It's a very good way. It's a very They say like Jewish observer, it's like a whole different mahalach. They take an issue facing Klal Yisrael, and they get people to write about it.
Uh-huh.
And it's only you can't buy it. It's only email. It's only it's only online.
I know, like Rebbetzin Heller is so big on Havas Lubavos now. That's all she talks about these days.
Okay.
You read Hamodia, the newspaper, every Shabbos, she's got a little article in there, and it's all Havas Lubavos.
But she started a few years after the
war.
Oh, okay.
I got it from Rabbi Miller. The way. Rabbi Victor Miller.
Miller.
it was after his patira. I did not follow him or hook up with him at all when he was alive. Very interesting. After his patira, I started discovering things he said, things he wrote, and I started having a much bigger appreciation for him, and then I realized that, and he said, Chavis HaLavas never left his side. He was always, he was. So now when I read this, I really appreciated it so much more. I said, that's it, that's the connection. The connection is gratitude, the connection is seeing Hashem in everything, and feeling gratitude, so you're going to feel connected. Okay, Perakeh, we're going to start from Perakeh again. Ach. So he talked about seven areas that you delve into. But which of these seven, you know, a person only lives so long. I don't know if that's what he means. Which is closer to us, which could we relate to more, and therefore, livchon is the verb form of shar habachina. And this would create an obligation. There's a very interesting words and maybe scary words. The closer you are to it, the more obligated you are to study it. You know, you say, I don't have in my mind about the gravity and the planetary system and then how the planets work and Did you see the pictures? They have pictures now. Two pictures you could see from the Hubble spacecraft. They just printed, they just said there are like 20 pictures from the Hubble spacecraft over the last 20 years. And also there's a space station out there. And it's the most amazing, amazing pictures. You see the universe, it's a pachad. But you say, I don't know any shaykhs to that. But he's saying, how could you ignore your teeth? You say, well, it's amazing. He asked Gary Stern about teeth, right? Different kinds of teeth, and each one does a specific task, and you don't bite your tongue when you eat, and you, what they're made out of, the material of your teeth, and how it's just perfectly made to enable a person to eat, and the animal's teeth are perfect for what they eat. Anyway, my point is that if it's karov to you, if it's close to you, you have more of an obligation to be aware of it and to study it and to see Hashem and appreciate Hashem and feel gratitude to Hashem. No markiya bechina b'chol echem. Really, you would fulfill your obligation to do shara bechina in any one of the seven. V'mahanitzroch v'matzorech elav gadol v'matzorech olav gadol. But if we have to pick and we have to make a pecking order, and Yoser, certainly what's closest to us, what we relate to more, what's closest to us, Yoser, to study man. Mankind, woman, to study a person, meaning both, and for most of the perek he's going to discuss the biology of a person, and not just biology, but the brain, I guess, I don't know if it's biology, how the brain works, the emotional side of a person. A person is, he says, Asher hu olam hakotan, a person is a universe. If you, the brain is unbelievable what the brain is capable of, more than the biggest computer. I mean, a computer just doesn't have any brains. Mm-hmm. Only a person could be creative, can think of solutions, could be mechadesh, could think, could reason. So they make a computer that plays a beat in the chess. Okay. It's just, I understand the whole tumult. There were just how many. So again, just teaching it, like how to respond. You know, kids can't think. We wouldn't make up a new move. Asher olam hakatan v'asiba hakrova la'avoyas olam hagadol hazeh, and this is the closest thing it's the reason. Asiba hakrova la'avoyas olam hazeh. This is not what's taught now out there. I mean, in the Jewish world, maybe it is, if it's talked about, but a person is the purpose of the entire universe, the whole ball of wax, all these pictures you see, all these, whether you go up into the skies and see the millions or billions of stars, or you go, the molecules, the DNA molecule, right, you go into the kishkas, down, so, but a person is not just something that is one of the creations. Person is the purpose of everything. That's what he says here. Siba hakrova l'avoya sa'olam hagadol hazeh, and therefore v'chayavan anu l'ayin b'ascholah sa'odam. No, the new sentence. V'chayavan anu l'ayin b'ascholah sa'odam. Let's take it from the very beginning. Umoldoso, how he was born. V'chibur chalokov, how he's put together. How beautiful it is and how perfect it is. A person can hear, a person could see, a person could feel. A person feels pain, a person gets sick, a person gets happy. It's like, and how everything is put together in the exact proportion and so perfectly and so beautifully. And then Ayin B'Toalosov will examine the things that are in a person's life that are for his benefit, meaning whether it's oxygen in the world, water, air, atmosphere, carbon, like all the things in the world that are v'toelos ha'adam, uv'chol mido mimidosav, and character, personality. Isn't it interesting how every person's different? This person is this personality, and this person, and everybody's different, and everybody has a different personality and different buttons. That's everything is tailor made for that neshama, and you can examine that. Just, I mean, the Gemara in Bracha says that kashem shein partzufehen shavos kachein deiseon shavos, right? Everybody's face is a little different. It's like we would say everybody's fingerprint. No two fingerprints are the same. No two snowflakes are the same. No two fingerprints are the same. People have different personalities. No two people are alike. Hashem made already billions of people. No, not even the Chinese. No two people are alike. Because it says Kashem Shein Partzufein Shoven. But to me, the Partzufein are the same in the Chinese. They all look the same. What?
That's what they say about us.
Right. Wakochos nafsho, bravery, courage, laziness. So it's all such a wide range of characteristics. For or sichlo, which is again like utterly amazing, the seichel ha'adam. And vadvar mo'atzmiyim, the fundamental things that go into a person, the hamikriyim esher bo, that's the events of your life. You say, what produced me? Why am I the way I am now? I mean, I'm sure everybody could. A little introspection would really. I started doing it now, actually, because I just hit a certain birthday where even if I live to be 120, I'm more than half gone.
Happy birthday.
So I started writing a thing for my children, but I don't have time, so it's in the middle. But I started writing about my parents and my friends when I was a child, and I started thinking, like, and I realized, like, that's what the Chavis Lubavitch is saying, like, I'm not saying I'm good, I'm not saying I'm bad, but I could see how that shaped me. And I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't like intellectually aware that I'm being shaped, but my parents were a certain way. My father was a certain way. My mother was a certain way. And I had these certain friends. And I'm talking about all, I'm still up to, it's going to be a long book. I'm around 10 years old. So. But all my, like, that's one blob of memory is before 10. I don't remember like being 2 or 3 or 4, like till 10. Then it starts, okay, from 10 to 13 was another tekufa in my life, and then bar mitzvah. But I'm still up to before 10, and I'm remembering all these things. According to the Chavis Halvavos, I wish I would be able to do it. Like, I'm so appreciative of Hashem. Like, I had nothing to do with that. And I had certain friends, and I went to a certain school, and my parents was a certain way, and my father had a shul on the east side, and it was all like Shivrei Kalim from the Holocaust. It was all like, and it helped. I'm not saying I'm a good person, but now I'm looking and I'm writing and I'm saying, you know, I gained from that. And I was a kid. I was like nothing. They would kibitz with me, if the ones that talked would kibitz with me. I'm sure everybody can do this. That's what I was saying. The events that happen to a person form and shape a person. And everything is b'cheshbon. Hashem, and that's what we learned in Shara Pitachon. Hashem decides who your friends should be, and Hashem works out that you should have certain influences in your life. Now you have to take advantage of them. That's where Bechira comes in. But I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with who my, like with the certain types of kids in my class and certain teachers. And one was rough and one was this and one was that. Very interesting. Okay, we'll stop here.